format.
Okay, we're beginning a new sugya on Daf of Hammer Days. Just to recap a little bit how we're going to get into this. So here we've been talking for the last, I'd say last about, recap of some months also, at least 6 to 8 months, about different aspects of Yisuri Hanoah. So now the Gemara is going to talk about more of a general question relating to all Yisuri Hanoah. Whenever I have something that I'm not allowed to derive benefit from, the Gemara raised the question of Hamid Bey following Shad, right smack halfway through the page. The last word one is Itmar. I was just about halfway. Itmar, Hanoah Bala li Adam ba'al Karcho. What if a person derives benefit from something, which is a Dover Asav Hanoah, but he's not particularly interested in getting the benefit? He happens to find himself, until the Moshel, he's walking past some place and there's this geshmaka smell of Basel B'cholov, or it's Chamas of Pesach, he's driving past me when I was a kid. So we used to drive past the Stella Doro Bakery. Anyone else on the major D at the Staldora Bakery right outside of Riverdale? So it really smells. Remember, Danny, you don't know?
Drive past it, you come out of shul, you smell it.
You can smell it from 3 miles away. So it was always the shayla on Pesach, on whatever, you're driving past there, with the mechir to close your nose or not. So that's the sugya. Hanoah bala l'adam b'al. I wasn't particularly interested in getting Hanoah, but l'maitzah, Hanoah is coming away, it smells pretty good. So what do you do? So Abaye Amuteres, Rava Masura. So Abaye says, Hanoah bala l'adam b'al, it's okay. The Rava says it's a problem. The Gemara goes through many, many different scenarios as to what exactly the case is. So, Efshar v'komechavein, lo Efshar v'komechavein, kuleyavlo plegidiyosim. Either one of those two cases. Namely, even though I wasn't originally coming to smell Staldor, but once I'm here, I'm very happy about it. I'm being mechavein. It's a good thing to have, right? Lama lo, it's a geshmak. So, if I could have avoided that, it's like I had two ways to drive. I decided that I'm driving Dafka down the Major Deegan, knowing full well that I'm going to be bumping into Staladoro. Again, that wasn't my original plan. I don't usually make my business go smell Staladoro. But I could have avoided it, could take the streets. And I'm having in mind to smell it. If that's the case, or even if it's low Efshar, or even if there's no other way, but I'm really being the Chatein, so everyone agrees that's a problem. So in the mice, that's a big problem. You are, even though you're not originally going to that purpose, but if so, of course, so if you're in a situation where you've been mechaving to get an off from something, that's a problem. So those are the two extreme cases, and everybody agrees it's also. Lo efshar, velo mechaving, what are the total other extreme? Namely, I'm really not having in mind to smell this, and there's no other way out. I have to get from point A to point B. The only way to go is to drive past this bakery. Everybody agrees that's okay. That's for sure not a problem. What was the machlok? Just keep clicking. The efshar velo mechaving. So, on the one hand, I could avoid it, Efshar. On the other hand, I'm not really having in mind to benefit from it. So what's the deal? So is the fact that I'm not being mechavin, is that going to save the day? That's really the question. That's the root of the machlokes is about Rava. The fact that I'm not having intention to be nana, is that going to save me or not? So the Gemara jumps and relates this to a global question, way beyond Yisuri Hanoah. The famous machlokes of Yudin Rabbi Shimon about Dover Shem Miskavin, about if I do something without intention, does that consider to be an aveira now? So if I leave a Rabbi Yehuda, the Yama Dov Shemesh Kavin Hasser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes in other areas in Shas, just in case you have any doubt how Shasi a topic this is, you can take a look on the side. It appears in Shabbos, four places, in Beitza, in Yuma, in Ksubis, in Babakama, and in Krisus. That's usually a dead giveaway, it's pretty common. Sometimes like we're learning a secret very Yaakov. And I'll say to him, oh, this is very, very famous, a famous sugya. So he looks at me if I'm crazy. He says, oh, but it's not famous. It doesn't show up anywhere else in Shas. So I'll call it famous because I have a shtickle Torah I want to say on it. So for me, it's famous. But this is really famous because this mamash appears in many places. So comes the Gemara and relates this to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Dov Shem Miskavin is awesome in Shabbos and other areas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that just not having in mind to be a veir is not really going to save you, so Kuli Amal of Plikidi also said, this Israel is going to remain also. The only thing going for you was that it was Enim Echavein. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't make a difference. Ki Plikidi Alekid Rabbi Shimon. The whole Machlek is Avayin Rava was only according to Rabbi Shimon. The Yom HaDav Shem Miskavim. But Rabbi Shimon in other areas says that Dav Shem Miskavim is okay. So Rabbi is straight out of Rabbi Shimon's book. Rabbi says that as long as you're in a machaven, it's fine. Rabbi says nothing. Ad kan loka amar Rabbi Shimon el hechad lo hefshe. When did Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon is kaven? That's if it's avoidable. But it's not avoidable. I'm sorry. El hechad the efshaloi. But if you could avoid it, so even Rabbi Shimon can see that it's a problem. So at the end of the day, the machlekes of Ayin Rava started out as being some global, phenomenal, unbelievable machlekes about Hanrab, Oli Lam Shalom, Shalom Ritzono, etc. At the end of the day, it turned out to be a very, very minuscule machlekes. Everyone agrees case X, Y, and Z is also. Everyone agrees case A, B, and Z is Mutter. Everyone agrees according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything's also. The machlekes is, according to Rabbi Shimon, what would Rabbi Shimon say about a davar shem iskave that is avoidable? That's the entire machlokes hachavikon kol. Now the Gemara is going to revamp a little bit and going to come up with another version of what Abai and Rav are arguing about, but that's not for tonight. But tonight we have this version, this lashon of the Gemara, the first kibbutz of the Gemara, that the machlokes Abai and Rav was within the world view of Rabbi Shimon. Just how far did Rabbi Shimon go? So in order for us to understand, to appreciate this Gemara, we have to enter into that worldview of Rabbi Shimon. But before we can enter the world of Rabbi Shimon, we have to go to the world of Rabbi Shimon through the world of Rabbi Yehuda. And we have to really understand what are they talking about. This sounds like such a major, this is a Shas topic, Chol HaDeis, 10 different plays in Shas. What is the issue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? What is the case? What are the cases? What are the issues? What kind of parameters are we dealing with when we speak about a sugya called Dovah She'en Miskavein? Something which, of course, is the background for this sugya, but really is a world in itself. So let's take the sugya simply. Start really with the building up from the very, very beginning. Some of the things I'm going to say at the very beginning are, I imagine, probably everybody knows, but we'll try to build and put together the sugya properly. When you hear the words Dovah She'en Miskavein, when you hear the names of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, what's the first bell to go off in your mind? Well, as we saw on the side, it appears four places in the Sefer Shabbos. This is a very Shabbosy type of a machlokes, I guess. Who remembers that the original case, the case par excellence of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? The case,
dragging the bed.
We don't rather read the keys of his house. Can I drag a bed over the backyard in Shabbos? Adovah She'en Miskavein is mutter or not? What's the issue? I'm interested in dragging a bed. That's my goal. I want to drag this chair across to bring it to the sukkah. I'm not particularly interested in making a hole in the ground. There's a chance that I may make a hole or may not. I really don't even know I'm going to make a hole. If I would make a hole, that would be a problem. That's a serious malacha. Making a hole in the ground in Shabbos in the backyard, that's a chayrish. That's potential malacha category. So here, I'm interested in doing pa'ula A, which is dragging a chair, which is okay. And there's a chance, we'll call it a 50-50 chance. I sometimes use the words number. Remember, I think Jeff used to, Chepper Moon, used to say 50-50, because, see, he works in, Jeff Rosenfeld works in, genetics and statistics and all that kind of stuff. So he said, the rabbit, there's no such thing as a real 50-50. It's a made up term. I said, you're right, but we're going to use the term anyway, 50-50 something. There is a rivash that writes in the tshuva that there's no real 50-50 case in the entire world except for one. There's only one thing that the Gemara calls mechza this, mechza that. You know what it is? Mechza zchar, mechza the kevis. The Gemara says that the world is meant for 50% men, 50% women. The reverse is that's the only thing Chazal had the guts to call mechza mechza, because that's the only thing that's really mechza mechza. Apparently there was no shidduch crisis in the days of the Rivash, but I think in today's world, the numbers don't seem to indicate that. But whatever, but not for that. But colloquially, a 50-50 chance that it may make a hole. So that's a classic Davar She'en Miskavein, to which Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do it, you can't drag the chair b'tchila. And Rabbi Shimon says, it's okay, you're allowed to drag the chair. That's Davar She'en Miskavein. However, it is clear that the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon does not only appear in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara talks about it in several other places, many of them not having anything at all to do with Shabbos. For example, another case where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon appear, also Davar She'en Miskavein, those terms appear not in Hilchos Shabbos. My makom here is, which one is it? Believe it or not, it's none of the above, but it's there anyway. The Gemara just doesn't use that exact words, Davar She'en Miskavein, but the Gemara references Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's a sugya maseches nazir. Now the Gemara talks about whether a nazir is permitted to scratch his head, is he permitted to shift his hair, move around his hair a little bit, what's the issue? A nazir is not allowed to take a haircut, not allowed to take hair out of his head. here, he wants to wash his ear, he wants to play with his payas, he wants to twirl his ear around a little bit. There's a chance that he may pull out some hairs. So lo and behold, I'm to Rabbi Yehuda and says, you're not allowed to do that. It comes to Rabbi Shimon and says, you are allowed to do that. So here we find the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon clearly applying in an area that's not Hilcha Shabbos. So we have almost two different sugyas. We have Rabbi Rabbi Shimon fighting it out in Hilcha Shabbos. We have Rabbi Rabbi Shimon fighting it out in other areas of Halacha. The truth is, we don't even have to run all the way to Maseches Nazir. We have it much closer to home. Where do we have it? On Pesachim Chofim Beis. The Gemara is not even talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Our Gemara is talking about Isur Yanoh. And the Gemara is still putting in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon into the equation. So it is clear as day that there are two different sugyas in Shas. There's a sugya of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon fighting it out of Maseches Shabbos. And there's a sugya of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon fighting it out of Kol Terekula. But the real question that we have to address tonight is really one basic question. I almost gave it away in my presentation. I said, what we have in front of us are two, and I said a word that may not have, should not have said. I said, we have in front of us two different sugyas. What I should have said was, we have in front of us two sugyas. And what I should have asked the Olam to help me with is, what do I mean by that statement? We have in front of us two sugyas. Do we have in front of us two different sugyas? Are these really unrelated issues? One is Hilchos Shabbos question. One is a Kol HaTerekula question. And you know what? Just coincidentally, gee, by golly, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon just happen to appear in both, but they don't have to. It's not really the same question. Hilchos Shabbos works with many, many of its own rules, and Kol HaTerekula works with its set of rules. Hilchos Shabbos works with Mishkan, and works with Melachos Shenetzuch L'Gufas, and Melachos Machshavas. There are a lot of terms that appear in Hilchos Shabbos that don't find a way into Kol HaTerekula. So should we take the approach that these multiple sugyas and shas are really different sugyas? There is really a Machlekes Yehuda Rabbi Shimon in Nazir and Pesachim, and there's a totally different Machlekes, which just happens to be the same names, and it happens to both line up, but they didn't necessarily have to. A different machlokes in Maseches Shabbos, or are we kidding ourselves? Are we saying, come on, what are you kidding? Come on, what are you kidding? Obviously, there's some connection between the two machlokesim, even though they're not identical, but the machlokesim are definitely related to one another. So that's a question that we have to pose for ourselves. Why would we, in our wildest dreams, think that these are two different sugyas? What would lead us to believe that two sugyas? If I were to ask you what your baseline would be, what would you think? I tell you, there's Rabbi Yehuda, there's Rabbi Shimon, there's no Shimon, say, nope, two halachas. It's such a brisket, everything is two halachas. Pashas and Tvarim is that it's one big thing. It's all the same issue. So we have to have some kind of a hochacha, some kind of an indication, some kind of a hint from the Gemara, that there may be reason to believe that the two sugyas are not as ironclad related to one another. So there is a Gemara, that at least the way some Rishonim read this Gemara, actually says this. But today is a little bit of time just to get to what exactly that Gemara is all about. So it's one of the pictures. So pictures came through?
Pictures weren't loading.
Oh, I thought just the written parts were loading. Oh, yeah. Anyone able to get the pictures?
I got the pictures.
Were you able to load them?
They came out?
Like
they weren't downloaded.
Well, so maybe we have some Gemara's humor. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's one of them.
But like Yuma Daf Lamadal, right?
Yuma Lamadal Bez.
I can't switch Daf. Lamadal Bez.
It says 680.
Okay, so a couple of Gemaras over there. If anyone else, remember what one of them strained your eyes. I won't give a bechina on this, but this was a part of a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha several years ago. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph Beis deals with a very practical concern. When you think about Yom Kippur, we think we're in the Olam HaSaliyanim on Yom Kippur, such as our Ruchnius, which hopefully we are. But everybody knows there's one problem. Every single shul in the world has one problem on Yom Kippur. What is it?
Kiddush.
That's why you don't talk to them. What's the one problem? Come on. Every shul, no matter what, has the same problem.
Called
climate control. It is impossible to make everybody happy. It is either freezing, or you can't breathe because it's so hot. So each shul or Torah has paskin in the direction of being freezing. Okay, but so believe it or not, this problem goes back to the Beis HaMikdash. They had a serious problem in Yom Kippur of cold. The problem was not so much in the Azara, by the time everyone was curved and Shtachman and Nafla Prem, things were getting warm. But Nebuch, the poor Kohen Gadol, he had to go to the mikvah 5 times during the course of the day. They started the avodah very, very early in the morning because they wanted to get it done. This is, you know, it's Ashkar Minyan, the Nates Minyan. They wanted to get it done before the heat of the day. So the Kohen Gadol was going to the mikvah several times in fairly cold water. And it could be a late Yom Kippur with a very cold, it could be an old Kohen Gadol, a little hard for him to go. And it was a problem, it was a very real problem. How in the world do you get this mikvah to be a little bit more tolerable for the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara tells us a fascinating story. The Gemara of Amdalam days, by the two dots. The first one, the Kohen Gadol, is often listed this. It's about 8 lines or so down from the top. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda. They would keep rods of metal hot from before Yom Kippur. They put the rods of metal on fire in the base of Mikdash before Yom Kippur. They keep it hot. And then Yom Kippur morning, they would throw these hot metal into the freezing cold water of the mikvah. They should topic say, now son, just take out a little bit of the chill. It wasn't going to cook the water. The water wasn't going to get to be yet. So let us know. It was going to get a little bit of the ice chill out of it. And that's what they used to do. That was a practice in the base of Mikdash to solve this problem. So, practicing Bar Kasha, that's a big problem because there's a potential malach problem involved. Taking hot metal and throwing it into cold water smacks of a potential malach. Following Mitzarif, it touches on the malach of Mitzarif. Mitzarif means to strengthen the metal. Well, part of the metal making process, for all of us experts in metal making, is that when you heat up the metal and you make the metal into whatever you're making it to, so then they apparently would cool it down right away, and cooling it down would somehow strengthen it. Again, I don't know what the chemistry is, but it's somehow the cooling it down immediately would somehow strengthen the metal. So that was Mitzarev. So it's a big machlekes rishon, what malach exactly is that? Is it potish, maybe it's machabe, it's not clear which malach it is, but it's some potential malach. The Gemara is saying, wait a second, you're trying to warm up the water for the Kohen Gadol, you're violating Malacha Deraisa and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, nah, I'm Ravivi Shlagi Litziruf. That Malacha Maiskin, the metal wasn't hot enough to reach the point that cooling it down is going to actually do anything to it anyway. So apparently it has to be much, much hotter in order for that to be a concern. Abai Yomano, a few Temesh Gilitziruf. Abai says, no, it was blazing hot, red hot metal. It was absolutely a Kirde Fitziruf. It's still okay. Why? Listen to this. Dovosh and Miskavin Mutter. Now already started to get close to home. Comes by and says, I'm not intending to strengthen the metal. It's my goal. I have one goal. My goal is to heat up the water a little bit, kick the chill out of the water. Therefore, this is called the Dovosh and Miskavin. So the Gemara jumps on a bay and says, what? Really? That's going to solve the world's problems? You're going to hide behind Dovosh and Miskavin? Would Abai ever say such a thing? Well, Tanya, we went to the Braisa, a totally different area of halacha. Besar arlosa, afilu b'makom shi'esham b'heres yakut, stibir rabbi yeshia. Torah says in Parshas Tazria, that you have to do a bris milah, v'yam hashmini yimo besar arlosa. So there's a word in that pasuk that's superfluous, besar. We know what the arla is, it's the besar arlosa. So Basar is a rebo, you come to tell me that you have to do a mila, even if there happens to be a neged saras. It happens to be being a pash tazria, so it's apropos. Even if it happens to be that the baby who's getting the mila happens to have a neged saras on that area, and normally to remove a neged saras as an issa min haTorah, the Gemara learns that from Shom the neged saras, you're not allowed to cut off the neged saras. You have to go to the kohen, not allowed to start cutting off your own. Can't go to the doctor to remove the nega. So here we have a big problem. Here I have, on the one hand, I have a mitzvah to do bris milah. On the other hand, that's going to involve cutting off tzaras, which is an aveira. So Rabbi Yoshi said, "Exeris akos, it's okay." The Gemara Shabbos talks about this being a possible mokra for esed nochalosas. Again, another time, another place, not for now. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yoshi taught us that besar, the word basa, comes to teach us that even at the expense of violating cutting off tzaras, the mitzvah milah goes on. The Gemara references it says, "Be'avinan ba." We asked about that statement, Rabbi Yoshua. It was a very, very strange statement, Rabbi Yoshua. Krol Amali, what did he apostate for? The Gemara was about what did he apostate for? What's the premise of that kashya? What do you want to apostate for? It's about the benefits of Hashem Miskavim. I'm not interested in cutting off. My goal is to remove tzaras. I'm a mayor. My job is to get the oil off. So the Hashem Miskavim. If it's a Dover Hashem Miskavim, so it should have been mutter. Anyway, so why do I need Exeris HaKosov to be matter it? Typically that it's motive without Exeris HaKosov. So now the key point is, what was Abaye's answer to that question? Amr Abaye, The Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer, Davish, and Miskavin, Asur. Abaye answered our kasha, Masechah Shabbos, that the only reason why you need a pasuk is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosha, the Tana, Rabbi Yosha, Masolik Rabbi Yehuda, that Davish and Miskavin is Asur, and therefore you need a pasuk to say, even though it's a Davish and Miskavin, Afapichain, it's still Mutu Xerzekos, Esse Dechel also say. What's the kasha? What's the kasha? What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara just brought this whole discussion to ask the kasha on the pouring of the putting of the hot rods into the mikvah. Look at the names of the Tanoim. Who is the author of the Braisa who permitted putting the hot rods into the mikvah? Tanya? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is reporting a practice that happened in the days of the Beis HaMikdash about putting hot rods into the water. Rabbi Yehuda was clearly sanctioning this practice. Rabbi Yehuda himself lived after the Churban. He's reporting this practice. He is sanctioning. He is condoning this practice. So he asks the Gemara, what are you talking about? Abaye, how could you have Rabbi Yehuda condone this practice? You yourself told us in Shabbos Kuflam and Gimel that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Dovash and Miskavin is Osir. I don't need Abaye to tell me Dovash and Miskavin is Osir. What did Abaye add? The Dovash and Miskavin is Osir. To what degree of Isir? How bad is it? If I do something as Dovash and Miskavin, is that a Nisad Dirais or Nisad Dirabonim? What's clear from Abaye? It's a Dirais. How do I know that's a Dirais?
You need a Pasuk.
You need a Pasuk. I need a Pasuk to combat an Nisad Dirais. The Pasuk saying, this would have been awesome in a Torah, not for the Xeris HaKosim. So Abaye hooks up that the only way to understand what the Issa would have been based on Rabbi Yehuda's Dovash and Miskavin. So you see from Abaye that when the Heilige Tana Rabbi Yehuda asked of Dovash and Miskavin, he meant it on a level of deraisa. Otherwise, Abaye solved absolutely nothing. So it's not in Abaye's Kimta, the Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yehuda are on the same page, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Dovash and Miskavin being awesome in a Torah. That's a disaster. If Dovash and Miskavin is awesome in a Torah, what are they doing in the Beis Mikdash for? How can that be? That's a kasha. That's the Gemara's kasha. So listen to the Gemara's terrors. Hani mili b'chola tarakula, what does that mean? What was that answer? So Shruli's reading those words in, which Rashi did, but in the text of the Gemara we don't have those words. Right? Let's just remember what you may be right, but we don't have those words in the text of the Gemara. What's the coup that the Gemara must solve? There's a contradiction here. Right? We had a board here, there's a contradiction. On the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda has explained to us by Abaye himself, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosha, clearly hold that Dov Shem Miskavit is also in the Torah. So the Araisa take a problem with Shem Miskavit. On the other hand, we're letting this go by in the Beis HaMikdash. That's crazy. I have to let this from the Araisa go by in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara gave some very vague answer. No, this is called Tarakula, and this is the Rabbanan, and therefore Shalom HaYisrael. What does that answer mean? What do the words mean? So let's take a look at Tosis. On Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. This is one of the longest days in the Shas, by the way. You don't get the whole picture. If you don't have a Gemara, you don't get the whole picture. You only get one side. The next page, Lamed Hey, it's just as long as on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So it's almost a two-page long Tosis. Okay, we're just going to read part of it. That much fun. Let's take a look. Let's look at when the wide lines begin. Now, I'm down. There's a wide line. Begin in the middle of the 11th parak. So, those who've been walking through the Gemara asks the question: Mi Amar Abaye, do Dov Hashem is Kavin Mamitzel Midrabanon? If Abaye permitted, Abaye was saying in the Brisa about what they did in the Beis Hamikdash in Kippur. If he's permitting it, it's obviously not a derais. It must have been a worse than the Rabbanon. How could you say that the concept of Dovash HaMiskavin is only a Rabbanon? Rav Tanya, v'chulei, umid de'itzrich kra, shema mino, the Dovash HaMiskavin also a deraisa. That was our kasha, right? The fact that we need a posuk, the right that it's a deraisa. Here's the pasuk, umishani. This is what the Gemara meant to answer. Hani mili, v'chola tarakula, osur, she'ein miskavin ki miskavin. When do we say that Dovash and Miskavin is missing the rice according to Rabbi Yehuda? That's in Kol Tarakula. Aval Hocha, Perush, B'Shabbos, or Yom Kippur for that matter, D'Chsiv Bey, magic words, B'Lechas Machsheves, B'Inan, She'yechoshev, L'Asa, S'B'Lachashiv, Oseh, Hilkach. Siruf Tahacha. Habikalom is Kaven de Rabbanon. Bein Shvus Bamikdash. That's really sad. What did Tash just say? What did we just say? What the punchline of the Gemara's answer is that we made a big mistake in Akasha. We mixed apples and oranges. What did we mix? What did we violate? What equation did we draw? We were equating Shabbos to Kol Terekula. And we were saying, well, Rabbi Yehuda says it's in the Sederaisa by cutting off Tzaras. It must be in the Sederaisa. Like, I mean, Malacha, I mean, Shabbos Yom Kippur is all the same thing. It must be Rabbi Yehuda is the same. To which the Gemara says, no, you got it wrong. That in Kol Terekula, namely, vis-a-vis cutting off Tzaras, Davashe Miskam is also in the Torah. That's why I need a pasuk, etc. Here in Shabbos slash Yom Kippur, even Rabbi Yehuda, the biggest machmen under the sun of Dov Hashem Miskavin, was only machmen with the Rabbanim. Dov Hashem Miskavin in Shabbos going to Rabbi Yehuda is not a Nisa Deraisa. Why not? Because it's lacking two magic words. It's not Melech Shabbos. It's not a positive thought through constructive process. I'm not really interested in happening anyway. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you drag your bench outside, even though there's a 50-50 chance you're going to make a chritz, guess what? It's Osir. But guess what else? It's not an Osir. It's not an Nisa Deraisa. That's how Tosfos just read this Gemara Masechta Yoma. According to Tosfos, what just happened? Remember, we started off with a Shaila. We have well documented that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon appear in different Masechtas. They appear in Shabbos Sugyas, and they appear in Kol Terekula Sugyas, including our own Sugya Pesachim. We started off by saying the starting point is, of course, it's the same Sugyas, same people, same names, same concepts. Of course, it's the same Shaila. According to Tosfos, it's not the same Shaila. Not at all the same Shaila. The issue in Kol Terekula is a machlokes on the level of Deraisa. The issue in Hilchos Shabbos is not a machlokes on the level of Deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Shimon's right in Hilchos Shabbos with Deraisa. It's an issue with the Rabbanan. So Tosfos is almost telling us something. Tosfos is almost telling us that guess what? It's just coincidental. These are two different sugyas. One's a Deraisa, think of machlokes, one's a Derabbanan. Like, they're not doing each other. That's what Bukhari comes out from the sugya. That, believe it or not, the tzad and the anach hakiyuh that we thought was off, we thought it was strange to say such a bizarre thing, not so crazy. The Gemara just said it in Yuma, according to Tosfos. Or did it? Did the Gemara just say the two issues are not dependent upon one another? Did the Gemara just say they're not related to one another? All the Gemara said was, you know, one is a deraisa issue, and one is a derabbanan issue. But between you and me, let's be honest. Same names, same words. I mean, there's got to be some correlation between the two sugyas. What is it? If one's deraisa, one's derabbanan, so what's the connection? To rephrase, do we think ultimately Rabbi Shimon in Shabbos is l'shitasu in Kol Terekula? Do we think Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos is l'shitasu in Kol Terekula? Even though I concede Tais is right, one's a deraisa, one's derabbanan, is it still l'shitasu? Or have I convinced you already that the two sugyas are not doing each other?
It's
easier
to say that
Rabbi
Shimon is
Lashitasa. Right? Rabbi Shimon is easier to say Lashitasa. Let's think for a minute. Let's try to think this out again. We find that very often the Torah says, don't do this. Don't cut off Tzaras. Nazir, don't cut off your hair. Don't do the Lach and Shabbos. Torah says, don't do it. Lo sasa this. Lo sasa this. Lo that. And then we have a series of different klolim in halacha that almost, so to speak, minimize, you know, mitigate. Well, yes, it only applies if it's done in this manner. If it's done shalom kederech, maybe it doesn't apply. If it's done without kavanah, maybe it doesn't apply. You know, we've seen these kinds of principles play out before. So, l'mashal, we have the Torah telling us, nazit amkoy here, and every Jew, don't make a hole in the ground on Shabbos. The Torah makes two statements, l'saska v'locha, nazit amkoy here. Come Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and first begin to analyze Kol Terekula. Is there a mitigating factor called Dov Hashem Miskavim? Is that a principle that we're Mishyachais to? Does that interest us or not? The fact that it was b'li kavana. So on a level of deraisa, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer us? What does he say to us? Bottom line. He says, is that a deraisa, a mitigating factor? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Haraya, this is Gemara. Sarah Losa, right? So can we need a posa? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a, that doesn't mean it. Tachlis. You cut off your hair, that's it. Whether you wanted to, you didn't want to, you could have, should have. You cut off your hair, you chayim off, that's it, finished. You didn't have hair. Rabbi Shimon had some deep, dark understanding, some very, very, sadistic understanding, that doing a maisa is not all that matters. A person's kavana to do that maisa also plays a role, and on the level of the araisa, if the kavana is lacking, then that's not a maisa beira. It's almost, again, not identical, but it's almost mashal mavdavadavu. Where do we find? The Torah speaks about a maisa, and now all of a sudden we're sitting back and philosophizing, well, is a maisa really all that matters, or is kavana play a role also? But you have almost an identical question for mitzvahs. The Torah says, eat matzah. So we sit and talk, well, I ate matzah, but I didn't really have in mind to eat it in the mitzvah. Is that good? Is that no good? Is that called eating matzah? Is that called eating matzah? So it's almost like a halachic, hashkafic, machshavi, whatever you want to call it, some questions almost permeating how you address all the mitzvah Torah. Just what is the role of machshava, the role of kavana in doing mitzvah? Again, I'm not saying it's all the same issue, but it's an interesting idea. So we and Rabbi Shimon are fighting it out in Kol HaTorah Kula. Is this a mitigating factor called built-in kavana, lack of kavana? Does that play a role in that? Kum Tilcha Shabbos, and everybody under the sun agrees. Min HaTorah, there's no way in the world we could say a chayev for Chil Shabbos that's done without kavana. Why? Because no matter what you think about Kol HaTorah Kula, in Tilcha Shabbos, everybody agrees you can't ignore kavana. How do you know that? The two magic words. That's exactly what the Torah Kedosh and then in Parshat Vayakal, Melechus Machshavas. Melechus Machshavas is begalat to me, no matter what you think about anything else under the sun, in Hilchos Shabbos, without Kavana, without Machshava, without the proper intent, it's never going to be Deraisa. So we have almost two different Peturim that are playing out here. We have Rabbi Shimon's Petur in Kol HaTorah Kula, the mitigating factor called Bilti Kavana, and then we have another factor called Melechus Machshavas, that everybody, even the Rabbi Yehuda people, subscribe. So I guess just conceptually, are these the same type of Peturim? The Peturim of Melechus Machshavas that exists the Kuli Alma, and the Peturim of Bilti Kavana that Rabbi Shimon was Bechadish, are these identical in nature? Can somebody highlight to me the difference between the two? Using some irregular Hakira terminology. Is the lack of Kavana a din wat or a din wat? Din Kloli or Din Prati? Is the lacking of Kavana something that's unique to one very small area of Halacha? It happened to be Gomes HaShabbos, I don't exactly call that small, but still small in the greater scheme. One out of the 613 mitzvahs that Din Prati carries with it a special Din of Kavana. That's Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Ptur of the Rosh HaMiskavim. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, the Ptur of the Rosh HaMiskavim is not a Din Prati at all. It's a what? It's very much a Din Kloli HaRai. It applies by Nazir, it applies by Isuri HaNon, it applies by Ketitzas Baharas, and it applies by half a dozen other places, but all the bits of the Torah, all the Isuri in the Torah, the Rosh HaMiskavim is a Poti. So even though both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon subscribe to the notion of the Rosh HaMiskavim being a Poti D'Araisa in Hilchos Shabbos, it's true that they both accept Lamaisa, they both say the same thing. Erk is off the spot, Erk is off the spot. They both hold your Poti in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's a different kind of p'tur. One's a p'tur klali, that's Rabbi Shimon's p'tur, because it's the same p'tur as other areas. One's a din prati, that's Rabbi Yehuda's p'tur. Why does it make a difference? On the love of deraisa, does that make the slightest bit of difference? Do we care less on the love of deraisa? At the end of the day, when you come to the Kisi Yaakov and they ask you, so tell me, I saw you did a malacha. I did a malacha. But Rabbi Shimon is kavim. Oh, great. Come on, Baruch Hashem. Okay. They're going to check in Shabbat to see, is it to a Chloe of Dibrati. So at the end of the day, who cares? The Chloe of Dibrati. Might have come in with the Chloe of Dibrati. There's a cloud in Hilchos Shabbos. A few curves for this. There's a cloud in Hilchos Shabbos that there are a lot of true in Hilchos Shabbos. A lot of things that I would have thought are awesome in a Torah Hilchos Shabbos. I did a malacha, but we're going to let it get off. It's a malacha, it's a lagufa, it's a kederach, it's a this, it's a that, it's a hefdan, it's a sasa, it's a that. I find that digging up some kind of tour. A lot of tour in Hilchos Shabbos. Is it cloud God in Hilchos Shabbos? Whenever we say potter, what does potter always mean? Almost always. It's potter also. Sometimes potter means potter, sometimes Smash button. How do you know? How do you know when we know that in the Torah it's not a problem? How do you know whether it should be awesome in the Rabbanon or whether it should be mutl l'chadchila? How are you kiveya which is which? So if you learn to miss Cheshavitz, it seems almost arbitrary. Sometimes we find that things are not chayim in a turn to become mamash mutter, and sometimes things are not chayim in a turn and they still remain awesome in the Rabbanon. So the Sefer Egloi Tal, Sachar Shalom Shabbanezer, in Hilchos Shabbos, he developed this klal, and other Rishonim already have a similar type of klal. One of the factors that goes into this equation, how do you know whether something becomes mutl gamri or remains the blightedness of the Rabbanon, boils down to the following. What is the nature of the p'tur that we're invoking? If the p'tur is a p'tur of Kol HaTorah Kula, if it's a p'tur that doesn't emanate from Hilchos Shabbos proper, if it's a p'tur that is something that's potter in Gans Shas, in Gans Kol HaTorah Kula, it's potter, we don't have to make Yisrael Rabbanon. There's no mitzvah for us to make Stav Yisrael Rabbanon around. The Torah said, this is not an Aveira, it's Nishkin Aveira. If it's not an Aveira in Kol HaTorah Kula, it's not an Aveira. We don't have to get, sometimes we make Yisrael Rabbanon as Gezeiros Yagam, but we don't have to. There's nothing compelling us to all of a sudden throw out Slim with the Nisad Rabbanon. If the Torah says that it's not Nisad Rabbanon, it's not Nisad Rabbanon, and finish. But this gets very tricky. What if you have an action that Kol HaTorah Kula doesn't say it's okay? There's only one reason why it's okay. We slip between the cracks. Why? There's some unique aspect of Hilchos Shabbos that kind of got you out. You know, you got off on a legal loophole. You just kind of got around it a little bit. Because of usually two magic words, Melachim Bachsheves, Melachim Bachsheves saved the day. Zach Degli Tal and others. When the p'tur involved is only a din prati, that's a much weaker p'tur than the p'tur klali. A p'tur klali means, the Torah is not Mashiachis, they just didn't call it Torah klali, this is Nishkin Aveira. This is not an Aveira. A p'tur that emanates in Melachim Bachsheves means that it really should have been an Issa Deraisa. The Torah said, by the way, for the highest standards of what constitutes Chol Shabbos, has to be Melechet Machsheves. Whenever we're barely scratching out a p'tur called Melechet Machsheves, that's not going to translate to be Mutter. That's going to be an Asa B'Derabbanan. One could argue that maybe it's almost like a Gezeri even, that we're afraid. If we let you start taking advantage of Melechet Machsheves p'turim, you may begin to almost borrow those Melechet Machsheves p'turim in what areas of Halacha? Outside of Hilchos Shabbos, you may say, well, the rabbi said this is okay in Shabbos, so it's probably okay in Nazir and the Zeharitz also, which would be a terrible mistake. So anytime the p'tur is not something that speaks to Kol HaTorah Kula, we get very, very weary and we slap you with an Issat Rabbah. Whatever, it's a Galata Heta, it's a Heta of a Heta Kloli that applies to 613 mitzvahs without in the business of making Issur of the Rabbah. With that Yisrael, now if we go back to the reading of Rabbi Shimon's, now that we understand exactly why the two statements of Rebbe Shimon in both sugyas are not identical, but they depend upon one another, who's going to work with you? Rebbe Shimon, who holds that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Dorshin Eskavin, is what? Is Mutter, what is he subscribing to? Aptur what? Aptur Klali. So that when he writes the Chashabas, his Shukhanoch and Chashabas is going to say, Dorshin Eskavin, it's covered by a p'tur klali, because the tetragram remains mutter, and therefore, according to Peshavas, light mutter, you're allowed to drag the chair, no problem. Nothing wrong, then mutter l'chadchila. But according to Yehuda, who holds that Dov Shem is covered, is awesome with their eyes, at least where in Kol HaTorah Kula, as it says in Yehuda Flav Adalid. So once it says that it's awesome with their eyes, in Kol HaTorah Kula, even though it's true that Rav Yehuda personally agrees that in Shabbos it's the Rabbanon, but it's a gamer different the Rabbanon. It's only a Derabbanan because of Melechet Machsheves, which is only a Ptur, Nebuch, a Ptur, Prati. A Ptur, Prati ends up with the Potter, Aval, also, which is exactly why Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't drag the chair. So at the end of the day, you can't drag the chair according to Rabbi Yehuda. At the end of the day, Taisus claims it's only a Nisa Derabbanan to drag the chair according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Melechet Machsheves is Matam in HaTorah. But the reason why Rabbi Yehuda has that Nisa Derabbanan is because he has the Nisa Derais in Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon are not just coincidental names that happen to match up cute. No, it's the Shittasim. The engine that's driving Rebbe Huda and Rebbe Shimon Machlekes and Chashavas, should we make it Derabbanan or not, is the same engine that drove the original Machlekes and Kol HaTorah Kula, whether it's Asma Deraisa or not. So the answer to the question is it one sugya or is it two sugyas? It's an absolute answer of, well, depends what you mean by depends what you mean for that statement. Is it two sugyas in the sense of that the ramifications of Rabbi Yehuda Shita are different? Tosfos claims here, one's a deraisa, one's a derabanan. Are there two sugyas that they're not related? No. It's one sugya, so it's Echad Shem Shnayim. It's one sugya that the two sugyas are related, they're totally zevizeh, not just that they're totally zevizeh, albeit the consequences are different in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. That seems to be what emanates from this Tosfos. To highlight this idea that the two sugyas may very well be distinct from one another, or may still be almost stuck, connected one to another, plays out in the world of Psak with the Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos. It's the other picture, if I'm not mistaken. Shabbos. Tosfos in Shabbos. On Daf Kuf Yud on the days. Masechta Shabbos, which is a little bit of the Gemara, and then we appreciate the Tosfos. On Kuf Yud on the days in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara is Tamchi Retz Tachamil, one of the medical Gemaras. It's five lines to the bottom. The Gemara is giving you a different remedy of how to deal with certain medical problems. So five lines to the bottom by the two dots. Liarkona, you have this kind of a disease. Train b'shichra, so if you mix something and you soak it in beer or something, it'll solve the problem. And the other thing that it'll do is umeakar, it'll also cause the person to no longer be able to have children. So you may solve one problem, but you may be creating another problem. So the Gemara made it sound like, well, so the guy doesn't want to have any children anymore, so we'll do it. So the Gemara says, what? Umishari, are you allowed to do that? To cause the person to become sterile? Vatanya minayim l'sirus b'yadim shuvasor. Right? It's an issa d'araisa, the misaris a person, or for that matter, the misaris to an animal. It's an issa min ha-Torah to cause even an animal to become a surah. So obviously there's got to be something else going on in the story. So the Gemara explains what the difference is, why it's mutter, what happens. It does happen. Okay, we're not learning the sugya right now, serious. We want to focus on one question. What's the one question we want to focus on? So the Gemara just said that this guy's got a terrible suffering. He goes to the doctor. The doctor says, prescribes the following. It says in the warning, this will cause you to no longer have any children. What's the guy's come on? What does he want to do? He wants to get feel better. He's not particularly interested in being the Cyrus himself. It should be mutter because of what? So comes Tyson and Kuf Yudam and Beis and picks up on this Gemara's Kashin. Take a look at the Tyson's Tavad Lo Beyatz and Masasa, the second Tyson's. So the first word on the line is Vahacha. About 10 lines or so down the Tyson's. Vahacha, end of the line. Umashim refers to Shiltas. Tosfos calls him the Shiltas from Rav Chaygov. The days are going to predate Tosfos. Umashim refers to Shiltas. The Hada Asa Lishto Sama Da Akrisa. That which the Gemara jumped and said, you can't drink this thing. You're crazy. You don't want to drink this thing. Guess what? Hayu Krebi Huda Di Oma Da Roshim Eskaben Asa. Says the Shiltas. There's only one way to understand this Gemara. This Gemara must be Rabbi Huda speaking. The Gemara must have been Nunke, must have been assuming like Rabbi Huda. Now, the Shiltas is going to get himself into big trouble. You know why? Because the Shiltas continues, V'yafagav dekaimel an kribishim and dishari. The Gemara is the favorite of a set of psochem that we, in the 10th breath, we pass it like Rabbi Shimon. You're allowed to drag a chair. Halacha b'shem b'greger, the Gemara says. Pemol, the Gemara says. You're allowed to drag a chair in your backyard, even though there's a chance it's going to make the hole. So we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So what do you mean there's a stam Gemara going like Rabbi Shimon? It doesn't make any sense. Listen to what the Shiltas says. Hainu davka b'shabes. Why do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Because that's on the Shabbos. And, you know, it's almost like we're saying, who's taking Shabbos so seriously? Not that we're not taking Shabbos seriously, but Shabbos has something great going for it. What is that? Mishum devayinim alechaz machshavos. Because in Hilchos Shabbos you always have alechaz machshavos to fall back on. What's he saying? What's he saying? That it's not really a lot. There's no real derais here anyway. Aval b'chol tera kula sfilu and Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Shiltas, Halacha LaMaisa. The Shiltas is writing a Psak Halacha, telling Halacha LaMaisa. We follow Rav Yehuda in Kol HaTorah Kula. The only time the Gemara in Pesachim Paschim like Rabbi Shimon was only in Shabbos. And therefore, this Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Beis is la halacha. The Gemara's kasha was la halacha. The Gemara gives some kind of a teretz to get around the problem. The Gemara took this with the utmost seriousness. We passed like Rabbi Yud in Kol Torah Kula. Rabbi Say, it comes out according to the Shiltas, these two sugyas of Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula are so unrelated to one another. They so have nothing to do with one another that what? You can pass like one and like the other and the other, and no problem. We have Shukharach, we have no problem. And the Shiltas are Shukharach, there was no problem. In one place, Halakha Yudah, one place, Halakha Shimon. Yes, two different sugyas. One's the rice, one's the rabbanu. What do you think Tosfos is going to say about this? You think Tosfos is going to tolerate this? Well, we're not sure, because after all, don't forget, the Balei Tosfos in Yumin, the Flamed Daled, quoting Ri, right, also developed for us the possible, you know, break between the two sugyas, but we just put the repair job on. We said, no, they don't really mean to separate, they mean it's almost the same, not really. So look what Tosfos has to say about the Shiltas. Tosfos continues, but ain't nearly Ri. The Bechol Tera Kula Kamer Rabbi Shimon. He dug up other Gemaras that sound like Rabbi Shimon and Kol Tera Kula. The Shari Ki Demash Lo Yopra Ka Moitzi Dem Rav Yechanan Savak Estab Mishta De Nozi Chayfa Mephaspes Vahanuk Rabbi Shimon De Shari Dorshay Miskavein. So he starts throwing at you the Gemara about the Nozir, and he throws you Gemaras and Becheres. He does a half a dozen Sugis and Chas that shows you that we who pass like Rabbi Shimon and Shabbos pass like Rabbi Shimon and Kol Tera Kula also. Of course, based on what we said, it has to be that way. Even though it's true, Tosfos is right, the ones that they're ice, the ones that they're abundant issue, but the two sugyas are the same. I mean, not literally the same, but one is taller than the other. So the Shiltas went to the unbelievable extreme. The Shiltas was the one who said that these are so two radically sugyas that you can believe you can possibly get one like one and the other and the other. The Ri, who in Yuma told us the sugyas are not identical, but was quick to cover up for himself and say, they're not identical, but you can't split the psah. Because ultimately, they really are Tali Zebizet. I mean, to some degree, like we explained. So just as a loose threat, so what do you do with that Gemara? What did Gemara? The Gemara in Shabbos Kofi, what was the Gemara's Kasha? So if you look down at the very end, Tosfos writes, three lines from the bottom, B'hocha Asya, if you know, B'shiva, the Psyg Reishu, the Vadi, starts B'shiz Kosekwin. Tosfos throws that as a curveball we haven't even heard. I mean, we've sure heard of Psyg Reishu, but we haven't even begun to discuss Psyg Reishu. This is not Dorsha Miskavin altogether. This is not 50-50, this is 100, or close to 100. This is a different topic. This has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. So basically, what do we have so far? So we started out, we made an observation that the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon appears in two different types of sugyas. One is a Shabbos Yom Kippur sugyas, one is a Nazir, Yisriya No Psachim, other kinds of Ketitas Beheres type of sugyas, Sira sugyas, which have nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. So we observe that there are two different groupings of sugyas that the Machlokes appears. And we raise the question, just how connected are the two sugyas? So Tosfos walked us through the Gemara Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph that let us believe that the sugyas are not absolutely identical. Where do you go with that not absolutely identical? So do you tone it down like the Ri here is toning down? Not identical, but they are totally zeb zeb. We gave a little razzle-dazzle explanation that follows and brought these terms. So we kept the sugyas separate, but not too separate. The Shiltas was in the left field. He said they're so separate, so different, you could possibly get one on one and one on the other. But Rabbi Say, what led us to believe that the sugyas are not identical? What made us go down this whole path? What forced our hands in the beginning? It was the Gemara Numa, the Flamadal. The Gemara Numa, the way Tosfos, the reread the Gemara, said one's the rice and one's the rabbanon. That led us to believe there's some distinction between the two sugyas. If we go back to that Gemara Numa again, maybe in for a little bit of a surprise, because we're not 100% sure we read that Gemara right. I mean, don't blame us. We read the Gemara like Tosfos read the Gemara. We just quoted the Tosfos. But there may be another way to read that Gemara. Again, remember the question of the Gemara was, what's the difference? How come when it comes to Yom Kippur we're being so mateful, letting it throw the rods in? I, Rabbi Yehuda Gebalt, he's the one who says that Sita Saras, I didn't know she was a deraisa. So the Gemara said something about Kol Torah Kula, something about Tziruf de Rabbanon, and we're not really sure, right? Not really sure what else happened. So look at the Rashi on Lamed Aleph Beis of the words Bechol HaTorah. Before we see the Rashi, what did you think Bechol HaTorah? According to Tosfos, what did Bechol HaTorah mean?
Non-Shabbos.
It means non-Shabbos. Bechol HaTorah was a code phrase for non-Shabbos. Look how Rashi describes Bechol HaTorah. Rashi says two things, two words. Be'isura d'araisa. That gives you an example of Kotzis Beretz is an Isra d'araisa. Is that what Kol HaTorah, that's the image of Kol HaTorah Kohen Tosfos? The imagery of Kol HaTorah Kohen Tosfos that's conjuring up is Kol HaTorah means 612 mitzvahs, not the 613th of Shabbos. That's not what Yisur D'Oraisa means. The opposite of Tosfos Kol HaTorah Kula is Hilchos Shabbos. The opposite of Rashi's Kol HaTorah is Issa what? Issa D'Rabbanan. What did Gemara mean about the Rashi? The Gemara was comparing and contrasting. How dare you, Rabbi Yehuda, be mounted to throw the rod, hot rods into the water? Get fouled, it's terrible. After all, you, Rabbi Yehuda, asked it like Tita Taras, happy to be mounted by the hot rods. To which the Gemara answered, no, one's called Torah Kulo. One's called Torah, which Rashi translated to mean Issa D'Oraisa. What's the answer according to Rashi? Seer, but only Issa D'Rabbanan. The Gemara never drew any distinction between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. Tosfos made it up. It's a big Tosfos to make that up, but they made it up. Rashi says, we never heard of such a thing. There's no such animal called Kol HaTorah Kula versus Shabbos. There's no Gemara. What the Gemara really meant to say was that Siruf is an Issa D'Rabbanan, which is exactly what Agiris in the Gemara is, by the way. L'Hochat Siruf D'Rabbanan. The Gemara was never different. There is no difference between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara's question stands. The premise of the Gemara's question was, Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula are identical, and the answer was, they are identical. If we'd be dealing with Yisur and D'Oraisa in both, the answer would be identical. The only reason why there happens to be a little bit of a difference between the two is because we happen not to be dealing with D'Oraisa and Shabbos, because Siruf is only D'Rabbanan. Of course, Rashi would then have to explain, is that true, is Siruf D'Oraisa and D'Rabbanan? So you have to go through all the Shas and figure out, are the facts right? But Rashi said, in effect, that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is identical in Kol HaTorah Kula and in Shabbos. That's the Pasha of Varun Rashi. But there's something strange about Rashi. Rashi was Mechadish, something really, really big here. What Rashi just told us is a Chiddush that Kol HaTorah doesn't exist. Rashi just told us that Rabbi Yehuda's Chumr of Darshan Miskavim, whatever you want to call it, his Shita of Darshan Miskavim, only applies to D'Oraisa, it doesn't apply to D'Rabbanan. Right? That's what you just said. When you're dealing with the Malach of D'Oraisa and the Darshan Miskavim is awesome. When you're dealing with the Nisa D'Rabbanan, then it's okay. Then everything's fine. Why?
Because everyone holds like
we don't know that from Rashi. Rashi, you're superimposing Tosfos onto Rashi.
Is that what he's saying? Or he's saying that it's still Osir D'Rabbanan?
What's Osir? No, he didn't say, Rashi didn't say, in this Rashi didn't say a word.
But it's the influence of Hamikdash.
What?
He's not saying it's Mutter according to review. It's still going to be Siruf, it's still going to be a problem to D'Rabbanan, but you're in the Mikdash now. So
take a look at the Rashi. Stop here because I didn't read the list, Rashi. You have the Rashi?
Yeah.
Two lines before the Mishnah.
The
Ein Shvus the Mikdash Lo Garsina, that Tola time of the Ein Miskane. So Rashi just told us a Chiddush Gadol. So Judah was so convinced by Tosfos that those words couldn't come up. According to Rashi, there's a new Torah called Dover Shen Miskavim on a Nisa D'Rabbanan is okay. I have an idea why that should be so. Why should that be so?
Because by D'Oraisa, Dover Shen Miskavim takes it down a notch. It's Rabbanan, you could say.
So if it is Rabbi Yehuda, but you're getting dangerous. This is Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know that's true. I mean, Tosa says that, but Rashi didn't say that yet. We don't have any reason yet to believe Rashi holds that way. So Dover Shem Miskavim may be a real Issa D'Oraisa, and somehow, if it's done on an Issa D'Rabbanan, we look the other way.
That's
food for thought. Okay, think about it, the whole week to think about it, why that phenomenon should be true. That's an important loose thread, according to Rashi, because if you can't explain that, then the whole Rashi shot doesn't fly, then we're stuck with Tosfos. So we really want to get back to our original question, the relationships between Kol HaTorah Kula and Shabbos, but we have to understand how Rashi read this Gemara in the Talmud. So next week we'll pick up that point and we'll go back to understanding the more global question.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbos and Shabbos does not require any level of
Kabbalah. According to the way Rashi reads this Gemara, we don't know that yet. There's no...